Chapter 6. It was a winter evening, late January, that time before dinner when patients were received. Hanging on the lintel of the door into the reception room was a sheet of white paper on which the following was written in Filip Filipovich's handwriting. "I forbid the eating of sunflower seeds in the apartment. F. Preobrazhensky." And in blue pencil in big capital letters like pieces of cake and Bormental's writing. "The playing of musical instruments is prohibited from 5 in the evening until 7 in the morning." Then in Zina's handwriting, "When Filip Filipovich gets back, tell him that I don't know where he went. Fyodor says he's with Schwander." In Preobrazhensky's handwriting, "Do I have to wait 100 years for the glazier?" In Daria Petrovna's writing, capitals, "Zina went to the shop. She said she'll bring him." The atmosphere in the dining room was entirely evening-like, thanks to the lamp glowing under its silk shade. The light falling from the buffet was split into two halves. The two facets of the mirror had been fastened together with a crooked cross of tape. Filip Filipovich was leaning over the table, engrossed in the vast sheet of an open newspaper. Bolts of lightning contorted his face, and short, raggedly cooed words escaped from between his teeth. He was reading a brief article. "There can be absolutely no doubt that he is his illegitimate, as they used to say in rotten bourgeois society, son. This is how our pseudo-scientific bourgeoisie amuses itself. Each of them knows how to occupy 7 rooms until the bright red ray of the gleaming sword of justice glints above his head. Schwander." Two walls away, someone was insistently strumming a balalaika with rollicking dexterity, and in Filip Filipovich's head, the sounds of an intricate variation of "Shines the Moon" mingled with the words of the article to form a repulsive, gooey sludge. When he finished reading, he spat over his shoulder and began mechanically singing through the clenched teeth.
"Shines the moon, shines the moon, shines the moon."
"Bah! That cursed tune's got inside my head." He rang the bell. Zina's face appeared between the flaps of the door curtains. "Tell him it's 5 o'clock. He has to stop and send him here. Please." Filip Filipovich sat in the armchair at the table. The brown stub of a cigar protruded from between the fingers of his left hand. A short man of unattractive appearance stood by the curtain, leaning against the lintel with one leg crossed over the other. The hair growing on his head was coarse, like bushes growing in a field that has been grubbed up, and his face was covered with unshaven fluff. The forehead was quite strikingly low. The dense, bristly brush of hair began almost immediately above the black brushes of the wide-set eyebrows. His jacket, ripped under the left armpit, was dotted with straw. The striped trousers were torn into holes in the right knee and stained with purple paint on the left. Round his neck, the man had a garish sky-blue necktie with an artificial ruby pin. The colour of this necktie was so strident that every now and then, when he closed his weary eyes, Filip Filipovich could still see a flaming torch with a light blue crown on the ceiling or on the wall. When he opened his eyes, he was blinded once again by the dazzling beams of light emitted by a pair of lacquered shoes with white spats on the floor.
"As if he were wearing galoshes,"
Filip Filipovich thought with a disagreeable feeling. Sighed, sniffed, and began fiddling with his extinct cigar. The man by the door kept glancing at the professor with murky eyes as he smoked a papirosa, sprinkling ash on his shirt front. The clock on the wall beside the wooden hazel grouse chimed 5 times. Something else inside it groaned as Filip Filipovich began the conversation.
"Haven't I already asked you twice not to sleep on the planks behind the stove in the kitchen? Especially during the day?"
The man coughed huskily, as if he'd choked on a bone, and replied,
"The air's better in the kitchen."
His voice was unusual, rather flat, and at the same time hollow, as if he was speaking into a little barrel. Filip Filipovich shook his head and asked,
"Where did that vile rubbish come from? I'm talking about the tie." The little man followed his finger with his eyes, squinting down lovingly past his protruding lip at the tie. "Why is it vile?" he asked. "It's a real posh tie. Darya Petrovna gave it to me."
"Then Darya Petrovna has given you something almost as disgusting as those shoes. What sort of glittering garbage is that? Where are they from? What did I ask you to do? Buy decent shoes, and what are these? Surely Dr. Bomenthal didn't choose shoes like that."
"I told him to get lacquered ones. I'm as good as anyone else, aren't I? Go down to Kuznetsky Most. Everyone's wearing lacquered ones."
Filip Filipovich turned his head sharply and started speaking in a grave voice. "No more sleeping behind the stove. Understand? It's sheer impudence. You get in the way. There are women there."
The man's face darkened and his lips protruded. "Some women? Big deal. Real ladies. Plain ordinary servants, and as pushy as any woman commissar. It's all that Zinka telling tales."
Filip Filipovich gave him a strict glance. "Don't you dare call Zina Zinka, understand?"
Silence.
"Do you understand, I asked you?"
"Yes."
"Remove that filthy object from your neck. You, just take a look at yourself in the mirror. What on earth do you look like? Some kind of fairground clown? Don't throw your butts on the floor, I've asked you 100 times, and I don't want to hear another single swear word in this apartment. Don't spit! There's the spittoon. Take care using the urinal. Stop these conversations of yours with Zina. She's complaining that you lie in wait for her in the dark. You watch out. Who said, 'How should I bloody know?' to one of my patients? Do you think you're in some low tavern here?"
"Why are you always so hard on me, Dad?" the man suddenly whined.
Filip Filipovich flushed and his spectacles glinted. "Where do you see any dad of yours here? What outrageous familiarity! I don't ever want to hear that word again. Address me respectfully by my name and patronymic."
An insolent resentment blazed up in the little man's eyes. "Why do you keep on? It's always, don't spit, don't smoke, don't go there. What's all this about, anyway? Might as well be in a tram. Why don't you let me have a life? As far as Dad is concerned, that's not fair. Did I ask you to operate on me?"
The man barked indignantly.
"A fine business. Snatched a poor animal, slashed its head open with a knife, and now they're getting all finicky and squeamish. Maybe I didn't give my permission for the operation. And neither..."
The man raised his eyes to the ceiling as if he were trying to remember some formula of words.
"And neither did my family and relatives. Maybe I have the right to sue you."
Filip Filipovich's eyes became perfectly round and the cigar tumbled from his fingers. "What a louse," was the thought that flashed through his mind. "How's that?" he asked, screwing up his eyes. "You wish to inform me that you're dissatisfied with having been transformed into a human being. Perhaps you prefer to go running round the garbage heaps again? Freezing in the gateways? Well, if I had only known..."
"Why do you always keep on reproaching me with that? The garbage heap, the garbage heap. I managed to get my daily crust of bread. And what if I died under your knife, huh? What do you have to say to that, comrade?"
"Filip Filipovich!" Filip Filipovich exclaimed irritably. "I'm no comrade of yours. This is monstrous!" "A nightmare, a nightmare," he thought.
"Why, yes, of course not," the man said ironically and extended his leg triumphantly. "We understand that. What sort of comrade could we possibly be to you?" "Far be it. We haven't studied at university. We haven't lived in apartments with 15 rooms with bathrooms. Only it's time to forget all that. Nowadays, everybody has the right."
Filip Filipovich turned pale as he listened to the man's reasoning. The man interrupted what he was saying and set off demonstratively towards the ashtray with the crumpled papyrus in his hand. He waddled as he walked.
He carried on crushing his butt into the shell for a long time with an expression that clearly said, "See? See?" After he had stubbed out the papyrosa, he started walking away, and then suddenly gnashed his teeth loudly and stuck his nose under his arm. "Catch your fleas with your fingers! With your fingers!" Philip Filipovich cried furiously. "But what I don't understand is where you get them from."
"Do you think I breed them specially or something?" said the man, offended. "Fleas obviously like me."
And at this point he fumbled into the lining of his sleeve and released a wisp of light reddish fluff into the air. Philip Filipovich turned his eyes up to the garlands on the ceiling and drummed on the table with his fingers. Having executed the flea, the man moved on and sat down on a chair. As he did so, he bent his wrists and dangled his hands along the lapels of his jacket. His eyes squinted down at the square pattern of the parquet flooring. He contemplated his shoes, and that gave him great pleasure. Philip Filipovich glanced in the direction of the harsh, glaring patches of light on the blunt toes, narrowed his eyes and said, "What was the other business you wanted to tell me about?"
"What sort of business is it?" "Very simple business. I need identity papers, Philip Filipovich."
Philip Filipovich shuddered gently.
"Damnation! Papers?" "Ah, yes, indeed. Perhaps there is some way we could manage without."
His voice sounded uncertain and depressed.
"Oh, for goodness sake," the man replied confidently. "How can I manage without any papers? That's, well, excuse me. You know yourself it's strictly forbidden for anyone to live without any papers. In the first place, there is the House Committee."
"What has the House Committee got to do with it?"
"What sort of question is that? They meet me, and they ask me, when are you going to register, dear sir?"
"Oh, good Lord," Philip Filipovich exclaimed dolefully. "They meet you, they ask you. I can just imagine what you tell them. Didn't I forbid you to go trailing up and down the stairs?"
"What am I, a convict?"
the man asked in surprise, and the awareness of his own righteousness flared up even in his ruby.
"But what kind of word is that? Trailing? The things you say are rather offensive. I walk the same way other people do."
As he said this, he scuffed his lacquered feet across the parquet. Philip Filipovich fell silent and his eyes shifted off to one side. "I really do need to restrain myself," he thought. He walked over to the sideboard and drained a glass of vodka in a single gulp. "Excellent," he said, more calmly now. "After all, it's not a matter of words. Well then, what does your charming House Committee say?"
"What can it say? And you shouldn't go insulting it by calling it charming. It protects interests."
"Whose interests, if I may be permitted to inquire?"
"Well, you know whose. The working element."
Philip Filipovich rolled up his eyes. "And what makes you a working man?"
"Well, I'm obviously not a net man, am I?"
"All right, then. What does the committee require in the defence of your revolutionary interests?"
"You know what? Register me in the apartment."
"They say, when did you ever hear of anyone living in Moscow without being registered?
That's for a start. And the most important thing is an army reserve card. I don't want to be a deserter. And then there is the union, the labour exchange."
"Perhaps you might tell me what I can use as the basis for your registration. This tablecloth? Or my own passport? The situation has to be properly considered after all. Don't forget that you, after all, you're a, so to speak, a being who appeared unexpectedly, an experimental creation." Philip Filipovich's voice became less and less certain as he spoke. The man maintained a triumphant silence. "Excellent. Then what, after all, is needed in order to register you and, in general, to arrange everything in accordance with your House Committee's plans? After all, you don't have a first name or a surname."
"That's not fair of you. I can quite easily choose a first name and patronymic for myself. Print it in the newspaper and it's all done and dusted."
"By what name do you wish to be known?"
"Polygraph Polygraphovich."
"Don't start playing the bloody fool," Filip Filipovich responded morosely. I'm being serious with you. The man's thin little moustache twisted in an ironic smirk. There's something I don't understand here, he said with pointed merriment. I'm not allowed to swear, I'm not allowed to spit, but all I ever hear from you is, bloody fool, bloody fool. Obviously, it's only professors who are allowed to swear in the RSFSR. Filip Filipovich flushed and broke a glass as he tried to fill it. He drank from another and thought, a little bit longer and he'll be teaching me manners, and he'll be right. I can't keep myself in hand. He swung around in his chair, bowed from the waist with exaggerated politeness, and said with iron firmness, I beg your pardon. My nerves are on edge. Your name sounded strange to me. I would be curious to know where you unearthed a name like that for yourself. The House Committee advised me. They looked in the calendar. Which do you like, they said, and I chose one. There couldn't possibly be anything of the sort in the calendar. That's rather strange, when you've got one hanging up in the examination room. Without getting up, Filip Filipovich leaned over to the button on the wallpaper, and Zina appeared in response to his ring. The calendar from the examination room. There was a prolonged pause. When Zina returned with the calendar, Filip Filipovich asked, Where?
It's celebrated on the 4th of March.
Show me. Damnation. Into the stove with it, Zina, immediately. Zina stared at him in wide-eyed fright and left with a calendar, and the man shook his head reproachfully. Would you be so kind as to tell me the surname?
I'm quite happy to take my hereditary surname.
What's that? Your hereditary surname? Which is...
Sharikov.
Schwander, the chairman of the House Committee, stood in front of the desk in the study in his double-breasted leather jacket. Dr. Bomenthal sat in the armchair. The doctor's face, rosy-cheeked from the frost, he had just got back, wore an expression no less bewildered than the face of Filip Filipovich, who was sitting beside him.
What should I write? Filip Filipovich asked impatiently.
Well now, said Schwander, it's not a very complicated business. Write him an identity certificate, citizen professor, saying this and that the bearer of this document really is Polygraf Polygrafovich Sharikov, that he was, born in your apartment.
Bomenthal shifted uneasily in his armchair, perplexed. Filip Filipovich twitched one side of his moustache.
Damnation. I can't imagine anything more stupid. He wasn't born at all. But simply, well, in short,
that's your business, Schwander said in a calm, gloating voice. Whether he was born or not,
but one way or another, you carried out the experiment, Professor, and you created Citizen Sharikov.
And it's all very simple,
Sharikov barked from the bookshelf. He was looking at his tie reflected in the bottomless depths of the mirror.
I would kindly request you, Filip Filipovich snarled, not to interfere in the conversation. You're quite wrong when you say it's all very simple. It is very far from simple.
I've got every right to interfere, Sharikov muttered, offended.
Schwander immediately backed him up.
I beg your pardon, Professor, but Citizen Sharikov is quite correct. It is his right to take part in the discussion of his own future, especially insofar as the matter concerns important documents. A document is the most important thing in the world.
At that moment, a loud, raucous ring close beside him interrupted the conversation. Filip Filipovich said, yes, into the receiver, turned red and started shouting.
Kindly do not interrupt me with such trivial nonsense. What business is it of yours?
And he slammed the receiver down into its forked cradle. Radiant bliss flooded across Schwander's face.
Flushing crimson, Filip Filipovich shouted, In short, let's finish this.
He tore a page off a notepad and dashed off a few words, then read them aloud in an irritated voice.
I hereby affirm, damned nonsense, that the bearer of this document, a man produced in a laboratory experiment by means of an operation on the brain, is in need of identity papers.
Damnation! I am absolutely opposed to these idiotic papers being obtained. Signed, Professor Preobrazhensky.
That's rather strange, Professor, Shawanda said resentfully.
The way that you can call official documents idiotic.
I can't possibly permit the presence in the house of a tenant without documents, who hasn't been registered at the local militia department for military service either. What if there is a war with the imperialist predators?
I'll never go fight, Sharikov suddenly yelped peevishly at the bookshelf. Shwanda was caught by surprise, but he recovered quickly and remarked politely to Sharikov.
Citizen Sharikov, what you say demonstrates a supreme lack of political awareness. You have to be registered for military service.
I'll get registered, but as for fighting, sod that for a lark, Sharikov replied aggressively, adjusting his tie knot.
Now it was Shwanda's turn to be nonplussed. Preobrazhensky exchanged a glance of melancholy anger with Bomenthal.
How do you like that, Morals?
Bomenthal nodded significantly.
I was seriously injured during the operation, Sharikov howled sullenly. Just look at the job they did on me.
And he pointed to his head. There was a very fresh scar from the operation running across his forehead.
Are you an individualistic anarchist? Shwander asked, raising his eyebrows. I am disabled. I ought to have a white ticket,
was Sharikov's answer to that.
Well, all right. That's not important just for now, Shwander replied, astonished. The fact is that we're going to send the professor's certificate to the militia, and they'll issue you an official document.
You know what?
Filip Filipovich suddenly interrupted him, clearly preoccupied by some thought.
Do you have a free room in the building? I'd like to buy it.
A little yellow sparks glinted in Schwander's brown eyes.
No, Professor. I greatly regret not. And we're not expecting to have one.
Filip Filipovich clamped his lips together and said nothing. The telephone jangled again like a mad thing. Filip Filipovich didn't ask who it was. Without saying a word, he flicked the receiver out of its cradle so that it spun around for a moment or two and then just hung there on its blue cord. Everybody started.
The old man's nerves have gone to pieces, Bomenthal thought, and Schwander's eyes glittered as he bowed and left the room.
Sharikov followed him out, with the welts of his boots squeaking. The professor and Bomenthal were left alone. After a short silence, Filip Filipovich shook his head rapidly and said,
"This is a nightmare, on my word of honour. You see? I swear to you, my dear doctor, these last 2 weeks have taken more out of me than the last 14 years. What a louse, let me tell you."
There was an indistinct sound of glass cracking in the distance, then a muffled, soaring woman's shriek that instantly died away. Some evil spirit scrabbled across the wallpaper in the corridor, moving in the direction of the examination room, knocked something over in there with a crash, and instantly flew back to where it had come from. Doors started banging and Darya Petrovna's faint cry echoed in the kitchen. Then Sharikov started howling.
"My God, now what?"
shouted Filip Filipovich, dashing to the door.
"It's a cat," Bomenthal said in sudden realization and went darting out after it.
They both hurtled along the corridor to the hallway and burst in, then turned into the corridor to the toilet and bathroom. Zina came darting out of the kitchen and bumped straight into Filip Filipovich.
"How many times have I told you? There must be no cats here!"
Filip Filipovich roared in a fury.
"Where is it? Ivan Arnoldovich, for God's sake, go and reassure the patients in the reception room."
"In the bathroom! The cursed devil is shut in the bathroom!" shouted Zina, panting.
Filip Filipovich flung himself on the door of the bathroom, but it didn't give.
"Open up this second!"
In reply, something started bouncing around the walls in the locked bathroom. Basins were sent tumbling, and behind the door, Sharikov's wild voice roared indistinctly.
"I'll kill you right here!"
Water gurgled in the pipes and began running. Filip Filipovich fell on the door and started jerking it fiercely. Darya Petrovna appeared in the doorway of the kitchen, her face contorted and bright red from the steam. Then, high up on the wall, just below the ceiling, The pane of glass that separated the bathroom from the kitchen splintered into a wormy crack, and two shards tumbled out of it, followed by an absolutely immense cat with tiger stripes and a blue ribbon round its neck, looking like a pre-revolutionary policeman. It fell straight onto the long serving dish on the table, cracking it in two lengthwise, out of the dish onto the floor, spun around on three paws, waving the other one as if it were dancing, and immediately squeezed through the narrow crack of the door onto the back staircase. The crack opened wider, and the cat's place was taken by an old woman's face in a headscarf. Then the old woman's skirt, scattered with white polka dots, was in the kitchen. The old woman wiped her sunken mouth with her index and middle fingers, glanced round the kitchen with swollen but piercing eyes, and said in a curious voice,
"Oh, Lord Jesus!"
Pale-faced, Filip Filipovich strode across the kitchen and asked the old woman menacingly, "What do you want?"
"I'd be interested in getting a look at the talking dog,"
the old woman replied ingratiatingly and crossed herself. Filip Filipovich turned even paler, stepped up close to the old woman, and said in a choking whisper,
"Out of my kitchen this instant."
The old woman backed towards the door and said in an offended voice,
"You're a bit too saucy altogether for my liking, Citizen Professor."
"Out, I say,"
Filip Filipovich repeated, and his eyes went as round as the owl's. He crashed the door shut behind the old woman with his own hand.
"Darya Petrovna, didn't I ask you?"
"Filip Filipovich," Darya Petrovna replied despairingly, clenching her bare hands into fists, "what can I do about it? People have been breaking the door down for days now. I might as well give up trying to do anything." The water in the bathroom roared in dull menace, but no voice could be heard any longer. Dr. Pomental came in.
"Ivan Arnoldovich, I ask you, please, how many patients are there in there?"
11, Bomental replied.
"Let them all go. I'm not going to see anyone today."
Filip Filipovich rapped on the bathroom door with his knuckle and shouted,
"Be so good as to come out immediately. Why have you locked yourself in?"
Sharikov's voice wailed in plaintive, flat tones.
What in hell's name? I can't hear you. Turn off the water. Turn off the water, will you? What has he done? I don't understand,"
Filip Filipovich exclaimed, working himself into a frenzy. Zina and Darya Petrovna had opened the kitchen door and were peering out. The noise of water running was joined by a suspicious splashing. Filip Filipovich hammered on the bathroom door again with his fists.
"There he is!"
Darya Petrovna shouted from the kitchen. Filip Filipovich went dashing in that direction. Polygraf Polygrafovich's face appeared at the broken window up under the ceiling and was thrust out into the kitchen. The features were convulsed, the eyes were tearful, and there was a scratch flaming red with fresh blood running the full length of the nose.
"Are you out of your mind?"
Filip Filipovich asked.
"Why don't you come out?"
Sharikov looked around in anguish and terror and replied,
"I latch myself in." "Open the lock! Don't tell me you've never seen a lock before." "The dratted thing won't open,"
Polygraf replied, frightened.
"Oh, my lord, he's put the safety latch on,"
Zina cried, flinging her arms up in the air.
"There is a little button there,"
Filip Filipovich yelled, trying to shout over the sound of the water.
"Press it down! Press it down! Down!"
Sharikov disappeared and reappeared in the window a moment later.
"Can't see a damn thing,"
he barked in horror through the window.
"Then switch the lamp on! He's gone crazy."
"The damn cat smashed the bloody lamp,"
Sharikov replied,
"and I tried to grab the villain by the legs and screwed the tap out, and now I can't find it."
All three of them threw their arms up in the air and froze in their position. About 5 minutes later, Bomental, Zina and Darya Petrovna were all sitting in a row on a wet carpet rolled up into a tight tube at the foot of the door, pressing it against the crack under the door with their hindquarters, while the doorman Fyodor, carrying a lighted candle from Darya Petrovna's wedding, was climbing in through the blind window from a wooden ladder. His backside, covered in large grey checks, flashed up into the air and disappeared through the opening.
"Woo! Ooh, ooh, ooh!"
Sharikov shouted for the roar of the water.
The others heard Fyodor's voice.
Filip Filipovich, we'll have to open it anyway. Let it spread out. We'll draw it off from the kitchen. Open up,
Filip Filipovich shouted angrily. The threesome got up off the carpet. Someone pressed on the bathroom door, and a wave of water immediately poured into the little corridor where it divided into three streams, straight ahead, into the toilet opposite, to the right into the kitchen, and to the left into the hallway. Flapping and floundering, Zina closed the door into the hallway. Fyodor came out with the water up to his ankles, smiling for some reason. He looked as if he were dressed in oilcloth, wet all over.
"Barely managed to plug it. The pressure's so strong," he explained. "Where's that creature?"
Filip Filipovich asked, lifting one foot with a curse.
"He's afraid to come out,"
Fyodor explained with a stupid grin.
"Are you going to beat me, Dad?"
Sharikov whined tearfully from the bathroom.
"Blockhead!"
Filip Filipovich retorted curtly. Zina and Daria Petrovna, bare-legged, with their skirts tucked up to their knees, and Sharikov and the doorman, barefoot, with their trouser legs rolled up, swabbed the kitchen floor with wet rags and squeezed them out into dirty buckets and the sink. The abandoned stove droned. The water was escaping through the door onto the echoing staircase, straight into the stairwell and dripping into the basement. Bormental was balancing high on his tiptoes in a deep puddle of water on the parquet floor in the hallway and conducting negotiations through the slightly open door set on its safety chain.
"The professor won't be seeing anyone today. He's not feeling well. Please move away from the door. We have a burst pipe." "But when will he be seeing people?"
the voice on the other side of the door persisted.
"I'd only just need a moment."
"I can't say," said Bormental, shifting from his toes to his heels.
"The professor is in bed and one of our water pipes has burst. Please, come tomorrow." "Zina, my dear, wipe it up in here, or it'll pour out onto the front stairs." "The rags aren't catching it."
"We'll scoop it up with mugs," Fyodor responded. "Just a moment."
The rings at the door came one after another, and Bormental was already standing with his soles flat in the water.
"But when's the operation?"
a voice insisted and tried to squeeze through the crack.
"A pipe has burst. I could go through in my galoshes."
Bluish silhouettes appeared outside the door.
"Impossible. Please come tomorrow." "But I'm in the book." "Tomorrow, a disaster with a water pipe."
Fyodor squirmed about in the lake at the doctor's feet, scraping away with the mug, but Sharikov, covered in scratches, thought up a new method. He rolled up a huge rag into a long tube, lay on his belly in the water, and drove it out of the hallway back towards the toilet.
"What are you doing, drat you? Why are you driving it all around the flat?"
Daria Petrovna asked angrily.
"Pour it down the sink." "The sink's no help,"
Sharikov replied, trying to catch the murky water in his hands.
"It's creeping out into the front entrance."
A small bench emerged from the corridor with a creak, and Filip Filipovich in his blue striped socks stretched out along it, trying to keep his balance.
"Ivan Arnoldovich, stop answering the door. Come into the bedroom. I'll give you some slippers."
"Never mind, Filip Filipovich, it's no bother."
"Stand in some galoshes."
"It doesn't matter. My feet are wet anyway."
"Oh, my God!"
Filip Filipovich exclaimed despairingly.
"That rotten, damned animal!"
Sharikov suddenly declared, emerging from the kitchen in a squatting position with a soup tureen in his hand. Bormental slammed the door, then broke down and started laughing. Filip Filipovich's nostrils flared and his eyes blazed.
"Who are you talking about?" he asked, looking down on Sharikov. "Kindly, do let me know." "I'm talking about the cat, that bastard,"
Sharikov replied, shifty-eyed.
"You know, Sharikov,"
Filip Filipovich responded, pausing to draw breath,
"I have definitely never, ever seen a more brazen creature than you."
Bormental giggled.
"You,"
Filip Filipovich continued,
"are absolutely shameless. How dare you say that? You are responsible for all of this, and you have the cheek..." "No, no, this is damned impossible!"
"Sharikov, tell me, please,"
said Bormental,
"how long are you going to carry on chasing after cats?" For shame! It's quite outrageous!
You savage!
Why am I a savage? Sharikov responded sullenly. I'm not any kind of savage. I can't stand it being in the apartment. All it's doing is looking for something to filch. It ate Daria's minced meat. I wanted to teach her a lesson.
You're the one who needs to be taught a lesson, Filip Filipovich replied. Just you take a look at your face in the mirror.
Almost took my eye out,
Sharikov responded gloomily, touching his eye with a dirty, wet hand. When the black soak in parquet had dried out a little, and all the mirrors were covered with bathroom steam and the doorbell had stopped ringing, Filip Filipovich stood in the hallway in his red Morocco leather slippers.
There you are, Fedor. Thank you most kindly. Change those clothes immediately, and I tell you what, have a glass of Daria Petrovna's vodka in the kitchen. Thank you most kindly.
Fedor hesitated for a moment and then said,
One more thing, Filip Filipovich. I'm sorry, I feel really badly about it. It's just for the window in the apartment 7. Citizen Sharikov was throwing stones.
At a cat? Filip Filipovich asked, with a face as black as thunder.
Seems it was at the owner. He was threatening to take him to court. Damnation. Sharikov put his arms around their cook, and the owner tried to see him off. Well, they had a bit of a set to. For God's sake, always tell me immediately about such things. How much do you need? 1.5.
Filip Filipovich took out 3 gleaming 50-kopeck pieces and handed them to Fedor.
Fancy paying 1.5 rubles for a rogue like that, a flat voice said from the doorway. Why, it was him.
Filip Filipovich swung around, bit his lip, and pushed Sharikov back without speaking. He squeezed him through into the reception room and locked him in. Sharikov immediately started hammering on the inside of the door with his fists.
Don't you dare!
Filip Filipovich exclaimed in the voice of a man who was clearly not well.
Now that really is something,
Fyodor remarked emphatically.
I've never seen brass neck like that in all my life.
Bomenthal suddenly appeared out of nowhere.
Filip Filipovich, please, do not upset yourself.
The energetic man of medicine unlocked the door of the reception room and his voice could be heard speaking inside.
What are you up to? Do you think you're in some low tavern here?
That's right,
Fyodor added decisively.
That's exactly right. He should get a clip round the ear too. Oh, come now, Fyodor,
Filip Filipovich mumbled sadly.
Good heavens, I feel sorry for you, Filip Filipovich.